for the Sacramento River Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. We are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Hosted tonight by myself, Tamara Wickma. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight, we are going to begin our segment on love and creativity. So we usually do about 5 weeks on any particular theme, and tonight is going to be the first, as I mentioned, on love and creativity. And creativity tends to be something that gets lumped in together with being an artist, somebody that produces something of artistic value in our culture. And from my perspective, and as we get to talk with our guest host tonight, Kat Chapman, who was previously a host on the show before she moved to Santa Barbara to work on a creative project, we're going to learn maybe about a different perspective of how creativity can be wrapped up into one's life and how it, in essence, is very much connected to love. So it's going to be a thought-provoking conversation. I invite you to join our conversation, become creative with us, call in, share your own works of art, whether that's poetry or simple sayings you come up for yourself, or just ways that you live creatively within your life as we discuss this conversation and start this five-week segment here tonight. We're going to kick this off with Let's Dance by David Bowie. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one Chico's newest restaurants, Rallo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rallo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rallo's West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. and 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468. You could look into my eyes.
Because my
right. Welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. And we are talking about love and creativity. And I'm hoping that Kat is there on the line. Kat, can you hear me? So we're going to get her to call back in so that we can get her on the line. And I'm going to start with creativity and what that means for me. So creativity in my world is something much more than what is produced. And for a really long time, I always thought that it meant that I had to be a certain way, that I had to be an artist, that I had to show up and produce some magical performance or piece of art to people. So I didn't consider myself to be, quote unquote, an artist or creative until I sort of expanded my definition and people started asking me if I was creative or if I was an artist, because they saw something in me that I didn't really see in myself. And so through that expanded definition of what it means to be creative, then I've been able to incorporate more of myself. Hey, Kat, are you there? Hey, Kat. Miss Kat, I think I hear you there. I'm not sure though, because I can kind of hear some sounds there, Kat. I'm not sure if you can hear me. And we're trying to get you on the line. So through that expanded definition, I've been able to get more understanding of who I am in this world. And through that definition of expanded creativity, it's helped me to understand other people as well. Because as I've grown to understand, creativity is a way of seeing the world. It's a way that we approach life.
Hello.
Hey, yay, you're there. Miss Kat. Kat? Miss Kat? I had you there for a second. I don't know what's happening. This is an interesting time here at KZFR. Phone games, you know, it's kind of like phone tag. It's really mimicking the experience of creativity, though. You know, I was thinking about that as I was producing... getting ready to produce this show. Kat and I had a really great conversation and brainstorming session around the different topics that one, you know, could discuss, basically the framework for this conversation. And for myself, one of the really big important things that has to be talked about in the creative process and in being creative is once you have this like inspiration in whatever form and way that comes, whether that's through questioning your world. Kat, are you there? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you're there. Awesome. Can you hear me? Hey, Kat. Kat? Okay. I don't know why it's not working. I'm going to try this other method here. Are you there? Kat, are you there? Hello? This is interesting. Kat, are you there? Okay. Let's try that. So, Kat, I was just discussing what my perspective was on some of the creative process. I was giving my definition essentially from my own perspective on creativity. And right as I was finally kind of getting you on the line, which it's a very creative solution if anybody saw me, what I was doing in the studio right now. But the point is that sometimes obstacles come up in the creative process and you just have to flow with them. If that's, you know, if your flow is intended to happen, you have to get creative in your solutions to your issues. So we'll get a little bit more into that here in a second. But Kat, could you maybe give a little bit of what your perspective is on just what creativity is?
Yeah, totally. You know, it's funny. I think, like I was reading, you know, you had a post today online about, you know, I think people associate creativity so much with just like a piece of art or that it's some separate thing. Whereas I really feel like creativity is just, it's like the essence of the universe. It's life. It's what's going on. And I think that we all have that flowing within us at all times. And so just like to be alive is a creative act. You know, I think when we started commodifying things and oh, now you're an artist or now you're an architect or you're whatever, like we started to feel separate from the world. But I feel like the creative process is what it's all about. And that's in everything we do.
Absolutely. And just flowing with what.
Am I still on air? You there?
You are still on air. Can you hear me?
I feel like I lost you.
Okay. Can you hear me? I can hear you over the air. So, Kat? Kat, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Interesting. So we're having a interesting reality here in the studio. So I'd attempt to explain it to you, but it'd just be confusing. At any rate, I do agree with you what you're saying in terms of just like that creative flow that's ever presently flowing through each one of us. And it's an interesting reality to think about, I think, for a lot of people, because it's not necessarily how we are taught to view the world. We're sort of taught to view the world in a way that, you know, there's just like demand of need outside of us, and so we meet it rather than something that is coming from within us that is sort of this drive to create. And I guess that is, if I had to like point out something that I feel is strongest in people that consider themselves creative, whether that's an artist or a musician or a poet or a writer or builder, it's that something within them is calling forth and saying, this must be made.
You know, I hear that from some of the best artists that I know. They speak of yes, this need, this desire, that they're like a slave to the creative process. And I think about, you know, some of the greatest geniuses. I mean, even we talked about this, I think, the other day, just about you know, genius, even the word, the etymology of genius, you know, it comes from like they people literally used to think that there was a genie that would come visit you and give you ideas and give you this creative genius. So like we are just this channel for this, you know, this entity, this idea that wants to come through into form. And again, I feel like if I, you know, equate, you know, creativity with the divine, it's sort of like, okay, well, you know, we are these divine instruments, you know, to allow this creativity to flow through and manifest in the world.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you pointed that out about being the instrument. And I think that we hear that a lot with, or I've heard that a lot with people in my life that consider themselves creative, that they're just a channel, that that whatever they are sharing with the world is something that's coming through them, and it really feels like it's not their own, and it's not necessarily something that they themselves were, you know, their thoughts were forming. It was channeled through their hands. It was given to them from another dimension, if you will. And it's really interesting to think of creation in that way. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and it's also, you know, we want to use just like the metaphor of birth. You know, there's like that wonderful poem by Khalil Gibran, the prophet, and when he speaks of children, it's like your children are not your children. You know, they come through you, not from you. And so we think about, you know, the ultimate creation in life is, you know, creating more life, creating another human being. It's like
your creation is like this child that has its own life. It has its, like you said, it's something that wanted to come into form. And so once you've birthed it, you know, it has a whole other life beyond you.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that that's such a great quote to bring us into another aspect of creation. And it kind of segues from my framework here that I created, that the attachment to outcome when you're creating something. So it's really interesting. And I was talking with a few of my artist friends before I was getting ready for this show. And they kind of chuckled at that notion of not being attached to the outcome. And I bring that up because of what you said about, you know, that your children are not your own. How many parents are like, you know, my children are a representation of me and are so maybe, you know, certainly rigid with their children because of that notion. But if they employed this idea that you were just sharing, that they're coming through you, there's something, you know, that of you, but not necessarily yours alone. And that's sort of how artwork is. That's how our creations are, like our projects. It's like they're an inspiration and they channel through us. But once they are sort of in this dimension, in this world, and we start working with other people, or even just working with ourselves and our own personal limitations, they sort of metamorphose. And it's just like in order to continue the ride, you have to let go of what you think is meant to be the outcome, right? That's at least my personal perspective.
Like as you were speaking, I've been really kind of on this train of like thinking about, you know, the expansion and of our consciousness as a, you know, global society, and I think like a lot of it is, you know, coming into our full capacities of our mind. And I feel like a part of, you know, the creative side of the mind would be like more the right brain, you know, elements. And that's a chaotic realm. You know, that's where it's like we're left brain oriented. It's like, okay, order and form. But then when we start mixing in the right brain and that sort of like more yin, more feminine, there's an element of chaos and definitely a relinquishment of control. And also, I think, you know, when something does come into form, the reality is that we're not these separate beings. We are connected to everyone and everything. So we can, you know, in our individual, we have our private little mind world, and that's where, you know, we can, you know, these ideas can come forth. But once they get physical, that realm is a shared plane. And so, yeah, I think, again, more elements of like expansion of like, okay, we as individuals are using more of our minds, which is going to be a little bit more, you know, this chaotic realm coming through, like using more of the creative right brain, uncontrollable essence. But also, as we expand collectively, there's those other elements of other people that, yeah, definitely take the control away from us.
So you also mentioned something there about the different sizes of brain that are being used in creative endeavors. And so I think that's an important aspect to highlight as well, is that we actually, from the bit of research that I did, we're actually, yes, our creativity, our flow, our inspiration, it's often coming from that left side that is nonlinear, that is being able to peek beyond the veil, that's being able to see what isn't there to maybe create a possibility of what could be there. But in order to employ both, in order to create it, to bring it into reality, we actually need to use both sides of our brain, because it actually requires that linear thought process of like, okay, now that I have this inspiration, how do I bring it forth?
How do we then communicate? I think that's sort of like, as we find this collaboration in our, you know, different aspects of our mind, it's very much like the collaborations that we experience with other people. You know, it's like there's you need someone with the ideas, but then it's like, okay, where's the practicality in that? And it's a constant dance.
Absolutely. So agreed. Can you hear me on the mic here, Kat? So I was trying something to see if it worked, but it didn't. So it is not. too much trouble. And so, yeah, so we were talking about bringing our creations into this plane. And so before we get into like the whole subtopic of obstacles and challenges and doubt and creation, just talking a bit more about that, the creative endeavor with in collaboration and in working with other people. So I'm wondering if you want to share a bit about either your experience, Kat, or just your own perspective on what that looks like or what that feels like.
Totally. You know, I've been, I'm actually down in Santa Barbara. Actually, right now, I'm looking out at the Pacific Ocean right now, Chico. I've been down here working with a woman on a creative project. And, you know, one of the things that came up is we had to address this with this intention of like, this might challenge us. This might, challenge our friendship and bring obstacles to us. And are we willing to take that risk? Are we willing to dive into the creative process together, because it's not going to be easy. And so it's like remembering that agreement as we've come up against these things. And I think something that keeps coming up too is like this idea of inclusivity. I think as we're, again, evolving and our minds are growing, and like we as a species are with internet and our ability to collaborate on these other levels, that part of that inclusivity is it's not this or that. It's not you or me. It's how do we fold both of us into the mix, where it's like you're experiencing this and I'm experiencing this, and how can we, both win, or at least both recognize each other and come to some conscious agreements and some conscious, compromises in the process. And I think there's a certain amount of surrender that needs to occur for that collaboration to happen, because again, it's not a lone venture. It is a shared one. And so that has been it's been an interesting challenge. I've been really working with that lately. And I think part of it is, making that agreement that you do want this creation to come forth. Like you're committed, to making this happen. And so when the challenges arise, it's like there's a level of acceptance that this is a part of the journey. And I think it's about that attitude adjustment that allows you to get through it.
I would definitely agree with that. And I think it's so inspiring of you both to take on a commitment to that process, because in reality, it is the inevitable truth that challenges are going to arise, challenges in personality, challenges on perspective when working with other people. I've done some studying around group dynamics, and it's actually the process of when you're first forming a group that everything's kind of rosy colored. Everybody's like, has their best foot forward and is really ambitious towards creating the group. And then the actual next step is storming. This next step is when people are just like, nobody's getting along. People are just not, I shouldn't say nobody, but there's just this like tension of, oh, well, it's not the way that I want it to be. But in reality, when you're creating something with other people, it's nearly impossible for anything to be the way you want it to be. It's about the collaboration. It's about the compromise. It's about seeing the greater vision and seeing how maybe we don't each possess the full vision, but rather a part of it. And so in that collaboration and working with other people, do we become more inspired through their actions if we remain open to it? And so in that process, we have, so we have the forming of the group and then the storming. And then it's actually after that, it's the norming of the group. When you actually start to find, how things work. How do we communicate with each other? When's the best time to have these conversations? How do we want to go about creating this, this new project that we're working on? And that's where, some more progress is happening. But you have to have the storming period of like where people get real with each other. They're not just like, putting the smiley face on and like saying what each other wants to hear, but they're saying like, they're investing themselves. And so it's often in that storming part when people jump out of the boat and they go, I'm over it. This group's not for me. We don't get along. And I think of more people, I say this with myself included, I think if more people knew that it was part of the process, like think of your family, like that it's part of it, that it's all just part of the jamming and jiving and creating together to actually start, you know, to have tension, we'd actually get a little bit further. Because after the norming is when the performing comes. The performing together as a unit doesn't come until much later in the game. And so, but getting through that and like seeing how one can relate to other people is such a big part of the collaborative project. And it's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes things don't always get to that place because people decide to jump ship.
No, I think that exactly true. You know, and I think I was reading something. I read this book. It's called The Illuminatus Trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea. And I'd had this, like, I found this, like, note card that had all these, you know, quotes from the book in it that I'd written down. And one of them was just talking about, you know, moving beyond good or bad, you know, moving beyond good or evil to where everything is just a learning experience. And, it bears its fruit in knowledge and experience. And that's the creative process. And so I think there's been some misconception that we have. I think our society especially is, like, addicted to, you know, those peak moments, but in order to get there, there's so much work involved, and there's so much mundane, and there's so much, you know, like going through the motions, and it's actually through that process. Like I think about that Japanese proverb, like before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Like this, the work keeps going, and it's actually the act of doing it. Like I think about, you know, in some of the challenges I've had in relationships, that it's actually after we've overcome that challenge that we are cohesive. Like you said, like then it's into the perform, like after the storm is like when you get into the, you know, to the perform. And I think it's like those are the like series of actions, like whatever that invites us to do, like whatever that challenge is like, is what it actually takes to build that strength to create what we're there to create. And I think, again, like if we just look at it as a learning experience, and I think this is just a part of life, if all of us could, I think that it's like we need a shift in our cultural perspective on like darkness. And I think if we can understand that that's just a part of the gestation period, I think life would just be a little bit smoother.
Yes, I definitely agree that gestation period and that incubation period is so important, in that we don't really highlight that too much. And so I do want to look a bit at obstacles and doubt, because that is definitely, I have to say, you know, a really evident part of the work of creating something. And I am, for anybody that's never created something or had an inspiration to create something but then started to doubt it right away, I just want to say you're right on track. Because if you're not doubting what you're doing, from my perspective, maybe then the dream isn't big enough. Because if it seems too easy to attain, then it probably is. I mean, it probably is just what everybody else is doing. And that's okay. It's okay. I'm not by any means saying that it's not okay to just do what everybody else is doing. That's great. But if you want to create something more for yourself, for your community, for your neighborhood, for your family, then having an inspiration and then doubting it is normal. And I have to say, like, you know, I'd say a lot of times when I'm creating radio material, before I come up with the concepts, before I come up with the people and I'm having the conversations with them, I'm not necessarily 100% sure about what exactly I'm about to produce, because it's in the creative process that I realize that so much unveils itself, even to myself, that it's this practice of being on the radio for me is like a meditation practice. I've definitely shared that with a few folks, and a yoga practice where I come into the studio thinking like I know what's going to happen and how it's going to go. And sometimes it goes the way I think that it's going to be, and sometimes it goes completely differently. But it demands so much presence of me that I have no other choice than to surrender to it. I mean, I could like get really anxious and nervous, which is, if my brain was on and functioning, would probably be what I would be doing. But because I have to surrender to what I'm doing, at like physically and in the moment, that it becomes so much more. So I just wanted to talk a bit about that whole process of doubt and obstacles, and how to interweave those in the process of creating things, and what you found, Kat, for your own perspective and your own experience in working with those two things.
Well, yeah, it's like we were just talking about, you know, and this collaboration and challenges, and then like, yeah, the doubt, I mean, that's the challenge in our own mind. And I feel like, you know, when we're creating, we're expanding. And so when we're in that process of expansion, we're also, you know, reaching back inside of ourselves and touching on these places. It's like a triggering process that can bring up, okay, the last time I was at this space, like the last time I expanded here, I failed, you know, something went wrong, and it's reminding me of that. And so, you know, how do we move through that? And I think, you know, it comes back into that trust. And I think, and it's hard, you know. I think my biggest struggle with obstacles is like, there are the obstacles that it's like, all right, no pain, no gain. You got to get through this. You got to get, you know, if you don't overcome this obstacle, you haven't earned the reward. And then there's the obstacle that is, you know, steering you into a new direction. And so I think that's where that healthy level of detachment comes in, and like where we surrender to the creative flow, because sometimes the process is, you know, different than we had imagined. And sometimes there's obstacles that are steering us into a new direction that ultimately, you know, is there to benefit us. So I think that's just where, you know, we have to just trust. Again, it goes back to practice, is this trust, like trust in your own intuition, trust that you know what kind of pain is bad pain, and you know the kind of pain that you push through, you know. And I think it's just, we have to check in with ourselves, have trust in ourselves, faith in ourselves, and also trust, and I feel like, the greater good of the universe. Because there's that whole idea, like that, like the, there's this astrologer, like Rob Bresny, he has a book called Pronoia, and he's like, how the universe is conspiring, you know, to help you along the way. I mean, I think, again, when we align with that creativity, we're aligning with this kind of divine source. And so this idea that you have also wants to come into form as well. So, you know, there's that trust process of okay, I'm going to work with this, and these obstacles are guiding me in how to do things.
Definitely agreed. And thinking of my own experience with obstacles, you said it so well, Kat, just about being able to differentiate between the two. What is the obstacle that's actually leading me in a new direction to expand this creativity? And which is the one that is sort of leading me to, you know, move on from this project? And it takes critical discernment. It takes detachment from the outcome. It comes being, you know, allowed for the creative flow to come through us. And that's the thing about, like, I feel like about egoic mind and about just being human, is that we get attached to the idea that is the inspiration in our mind. The idea, whether that's the in our life of a certain way of living, if that's in a relationship, if that's in the creative process in making something, we get attached to the idea that we thought of, that must be the best and only idea possible if anything's going to be good and all right. And when I was looking up information for this show, it was talking about how, yeah, just a lot of doubt and self-criticism that happens in the creative process before you really get to a point of going, oh, actually, maybe I did a good job. Maybe actually this is worth showing the world. So just how much of a part of the process that is, but also that element that you brought up, Kat, of really looking at the critically discerning what type of obstacle it is that is coming up. And it, kind of segues into a area that I wanted to talk about around perseverance, and perseverance around a personal practice around what you're creating. So again, with that discernment, being able to discern when something is really meant to continue, but also when the when it gets tough, when it gets hard, when it becomes like work. I mean, essentially, like, we want to think that like being creative isn't necessarily like work, but it is. It when you are creating a labor of love, such as this radio show, such as the projects that you're working on there in Santa Barbara, there is things in that process that you find yourself doing because you're committed to carrying and bringing through this inspiration. And so is there anything that you want to share on that topic there, Kat?
Yeah, you know, as you were speaking, I've been thinking about, you know, definitely the ego comes into play, and I think we can lose track of what really inspired us to take this journey in the first place. And actually, I was talking with a friend of mine about this today because he's involved in a creative project and you know, is going to a meeting soon and was just kind of like going over like, gosh, how do I approach the situation? Like, egos are clashing, and you know, how do we get past this? And I think it's really about, like, we have to get centered. We have to really check in. And I think life is such a constant state of checking in. Like, we can go on this journey and our inspirations kind of shift and change. But ultimately, like, the surface details might shift and change. But, like, at our core, you know, we're still doing the same thing. Like, the act of creation is ever flowing through us. And I think, you know, as long as we continue to remove these obstacles, it's really our natural state of being. And so I think, like, the main hang-ups we have really comes, again, that attachment to something, wanting it to be a certain way, when if we can really just take that time, take a moment, take a breath, and be like, what am I really trying to achieve here? Because it's sort of like, and it, like, bringing this element of love, like love and creativity, like, you know, when I love someone, I ultimately want what's best for them. So, like, if I'm in collaboration with someone or even with myself, it's like, you have to go back to that core, like, back to, like, okay, this person isn't performing how I want them to, but I love them and I want to support them, and so how can I, you know, meet them in that space, and how can we, you know, because when we're loved and supported, we're able to create together. And so I think it's, again, just this checking in, and that's a constant moment to moment, you know, like, what we're capable of, what we're feeling, what is inhibiting us can shift in a moment. And so I think we just have to maintain that awareness with ourselves.
So beautifully said there, Kat, that awareness with ourselves and what is really happening in the process. So there's just a couple more things that I want to touch on, and then we're going to segue into talking about motivation. And I have this great motivational speaker that I'm going to share some of his offerings here on the internet. His name's Ralph Smart, and he calls himself Infinite Waters. And so we'll be hearing that for the last segment of the show. But I want to talk with you, Kat, just a bit about motivation, because I find that is a big aspect that comes into play with creating something, is that, you know, if we have those doubts and we have those obstacles and we're having all these sort of, you know, and, you know, challenges present themselves, and no matter how we, you know, wrap them up to make them look more appealing and say, oh, they're opportunities, and oh, this is an expansion and growing as a person and all that great positive stuff, I mean, the reality is that at a certain level, it does start to add up. And so for myself, motivation is such a big part of that. And so that's why I'm wanting to share Ralph Smart here. And for me, I look for motivation in my environment and through listening to other people's motivation and reading motivational sayings and sort of that self-awareness stuff that you were alluding to, that helps me to feel grounded and be like, oh yeah, there's something greater going on here, and it's not just this this challenge that might be presenting itself. So I'm hoping that maybe you have to share, you have a few words to share on motivation there, Kat. And then I also was curious if you decided to share anything here this evening.
Yeah, motivation, that is I struggle from time to time. But it's funny when you were speaking, you know, like how does it come into play? I mean that word play, you know, I listened to this astrologer, his name's Rob Bresny. I spoke of him earlier. Kaipacha, Tom Lesher, and he does these Pele reports every week. And anyway, this last one he was talking about the new moon in Leo, and he's like, "All right, this new cycle, it's about play." And I was so grateful for that reminder, because I know that, like you were saying, like that pressure can come, it can definitely, it can get heavy, it can get hard, and we get into the creative process, and whatever it is we're trying to do and create, it can get overwhelming. But remembering, too, that life is short, and that also through play, like that's where our subconscious comes out. Like that's something that, you know, Tom Lesher was talking about on his last little Paleo report. He's like, remember to play, because that's where we sort of, you know, again, relinquish control, and these little inspirations can come up. You know, it's like, I know for myself, I have a friend that I just love dearly, and we used to live together. And when things just got too serious or too hard, we just like turn on some Peaches, which is just like this like crazy, ridiculous, amazing, music artist. And we'll just like ridiculous music and just dance it out. And I think, you know, for me, like finding some element of play when I'm having a hard time feeling motivated, it you know, restores my spirit, and I'm able to find that again. And so I think it's just, again, when we can take a step back, take a moment, it doesn't even have to be directly related to what we're trying to do. I think it's just about that, again, remembering that we are a creative being. And so when we're really paying attention to our self-care, and when we are, you know, in that element of play and that lightness of being, then that creation can flow from us more freely. So, yeah, I think that's what I have a motivation. It has for something to share. You know, I was thinking about that. You'd ask, like, do I have a song? Do I have something? And, you know, actually just speaking right now, there's a quote, a Goethe quote that I love, and actually it's in, my friend put it into a song form, so I might as well just sing it for you, but it goes, whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it, just begin it, boldness has genius, power and magic in it. Boldness has genius, power and magic in it. So yeah, once you get going, it'll fall into place. Just gotta take that bold step and stay with it and see what happens.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for that offering there, Kat. And, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, yeah, I asked her that. And what about, I was like, can I bring these books that from when I wrote when I was younger? And I used to write a lot more. And I feel like there was a part of me that was inspired in the anguish quite often. And so, yeah. And so I write, but my writing is very different now. But I found this picture that I actually sent to you, Kat, on my phone. And it's actually something I wrote when we first met. So I feel like I'll just go ahead and read that. Yeah. Effervescent change, embodying the mystery, riding the wave of the ebb and the flow. Where to flow? Wearing our totems like badges of armor. I greet this challenge as a distant relative coming home. I love you. It's been too long. The time in between has lost its value. Let us bliss out in our companionship, this ship of relation. Watch to be watched to watch. So, yeah, so that was something that I wrote, and it was inspired by Kat and I's first meeting. So, seems poignant to talk about it on the air. And I just want to thank you so much, Kat for joining today and for being a part of this creative process of even getting you on the air, because it's been a bit of a challenge. But I just want to see if you have any closing words, and then I'm going to segue here into Mr. Ralph Smart.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, express gratitude. It was such a beautiful, like, I've been going through my own challenges in the creative process. And so even just this invitation to be on air with you again, Tamara, has just been amazing. And what it stirred in me, and remembering those steps of the process myself, because, you know, definitely need the reflection to bring it back into focus. So just want to say thank you, and so much love to the community up there in Chico and any of our listeners. Just, you know, keep on at it. You know, life, I feel like the pressure of life is up. All of us are experiencing it. It's a big time on the planet. But if we can ask for help, collaborate with each other, I think we can really create a dream worth living.
So well put, Kat. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing more about your project as it expands. And best of luck to you on your creative missions in life.
Thank you so much. Ciao.
All right. So as I was mentioning before, it was a creative effort to get Kat on the air, and so happy that that was able to happen. And it's all about staying open to the flow, staying open, keeping your mind expansive, because sometimes when we find obstacles and challenges, our mind shuts down and we don't see how anything could possibly solve itself. But in that opening, sometimes the answers can come to us and we can have more of a creative reality possible. So we're going to listen here a little bit to a speaker named Ralph Smart. He calls himself Infinite Waters, and he is a motivational speaker, I guess is the best way to describe him. But he is a psychiatrist and a person who shares his own perspective, as well as information that he's researched on how to live a more embodied life, one that you are choosing to be in practice. So this is called Staying Creative, The Empowered Human, 360 Senses.
Infinite waters diving deep once again. The Empowered Human, 360 Senses. Stay creative. And for me, what I've realized on my journey is that creative energy is sexual energy. This is what we were all created through, so therefore we have to continue it. And when we talk of creative energy, it's amazing, because there was a time where I had a creative drought, where I just didn't want to create anything, and now it's like I'm just constantly creating. And when I'm creating energy. And essentially, this is, I feel, is our most organic state, where people, human beings around the globe, are just creating. And we've seen the internet has killed the television. The internet is the new medium right now. And look how much creativity is gracing us, whether it's through YouTube, people making these videos. People are really expressing themselves, because for so long, people have been repressed. For so long, people have been in the desert, and now finally we can drink, we can quench our thirst. But for me, the main goal is really just to be as creative as possible, and to realize that by creating, we empower ourselves, because it's not just about focusing on the doom and gloom of the world. Of course, the world is in a dreadful state. The world has become a crazy place, and it's only going to get worse. Yes, but at the same time, we can just ruminate on all of these phrases, but at the same time, we can create whatever we want. We can flip the script and essentially really create that world we want to live in. For me, I've just realized that I have to stay as creative as possible. And by creating, I appreciate other people's creations as well. Infinite waters, diving deep once again. Peace.
Hey guys, Will Durst here to say that it only took a year and a half, but we finally distilled the presidential field down to two presumptive nominees from the major political parties, the Donald and the Hillary. And the hardest part is figuring out which is scarier, that one of these two is going to become the next president of the United States, or the American people get to decide. You constantly hear that refrain, oh, let's see what the American people want. No, let's not. You want to know what the American people want? I'll tell you what the American people want. The American people want to lose weight by eating potato chips. The American people want to pay no taxes and have better schools and roads. The American people want drive-through nickel beer night. The American people require a warning label on their brake fluid to keep them from drinking it. The American people want to win the lottery without having to buy a ticket. The American people think any piece of clothing they can squeeze into fits. The American people would chew off their own foot if Oprah told them there was liquid gold in their ankle veins. The American people think louder is better and deafening is best. The American people think the laws of gravity can be repealed. The American people want to look like George Clooney by shopping at Walmart. The American people have the same sense that God gave a bucket of hair. 68% of the American people still believe professional wrestling is legitimate. The American people have the attention span of high-speed lint. They love the Home Shopping Network because it's commercial-free. God bless the American people and the rest of the world. For WillDurst.com, I'm Will Durst.
Don't miss Jim Hightower, Will Durst, and Mary Standish comedy at the Chico Women's Club, Thursday, August 25th. It's a benefit for KZFR. More information available at kzfr.org.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century. We are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6. Please tune in with us next week. We will be continuing on our love and creativity segments. Stay tuned now for Ecotopia with Stephen and Susan Chudy, as they discuss environmental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. EcoTalk, it's your local link to a global network of folks who know and care about the health of our planet. And if by chance you have a free weekend, check out for the Funk of It Festival, organized by one of our very own programmers, DJ Spinny. So if you have a free weekend, again, you can look it up on the internet for the Funk of It Festival. It's happening in Beldentown this very weekend. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a celebration of creativity, celebration of collaboration, and what is possible when people get together and work together towards having fun. So check it out if you got the time. We're going to get you into the next show here with some Liquid Spirit from Gregory Porter.
Can you feel that spirit? Hey, can somebody bring me a drink? It's the best thing you ever heard. That ain't it. That ain't it. We gotta catch that spirit. That liquid spirit. That soul. That energy. You know what I'm talking about. I want it right here.
Unreroute the rivers. Let the damned water beep. There's some people down the way that's thirsty. So let the liquid spirit free. The people are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Get ready for the wave. It might strike like a final flood. The people haven't drank in so long. The water won't even make mud. After it comes, it might come with a steady flow. Grab the roots of the tree down by the river. Dip your cup when your spirit's low. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now.
Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Let the damned water beep. There's some people down the way that's thirsty. Let the liquid spirit free. The folk are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind of the water hitting banks of hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink and fill your water tank. Dip down, take a drink and fill your water tank.
I sing my lion song and brush my mane. She would and she could, so she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. She said, lion, I'm made for cages, just to look at in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. She knows what she does when she dances round my cage and says her name. Be good, be good. Be good is her name. I trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane. And I would if I could, but that woman treats me the same. What she does when she dances around my cage.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.